greatly appreciate your presence. You could be out roller skating or enjoying the quasi-warm weather. You know, just 2 weeks ago, what was it, like 3 or 4 degrees below zero? And yesterday I was outside and there were insects flying around, so they're probably confused creatures at this time. 2 weeks ago, on one of those sub-zero days, I visited Ben Davis High School in Indianapolis. I had volunteered to judge a speech meet or a speech tournament in the high schools. If you're not familiar with this, they have the NFL. No, this is not the National Football League. This is the National Forensic League, much different. And basically, it is a speech tournament, debate, Congress. You know, you get up and you pretend to be in Congress and they debate bills and they judge. They have a guy come in and judge you and who's the best one, who's the worst one, everybody in between. And I, on behalf of the Westfield High School Forensic League, I judged 4 rounds of competitive speeches. And there was something like 500 contestants from all over the state of Indiana. There were people from, I believe, Lake County, and there were people who had come up from Evansville to Indianapolis at this gigantic high school. You know, Snejana thinks my high school is dinky because, well, there are probably, at her middle school, there were more kids in the 7th and 8th grade than are living in my hometown. And it was amazing how many people there were. But I realize in judging these competitions that these people have put in hours of preparation. They are competing. They're competing for trophies, they're competing for ribbons, competing for all kinds of things. They want to get to that all wonderful state meet and to the districts and maybe even, if they're lucky enough, the national meet. And they put in all this preparation and practice. You can see the nerves on their face. You can see them rehearsing in a corner before their round, and I can see that. And their dreams of just getting a ribbon are in the hands of human and subjective judges. And their words are judged by a standard, and ours will be as well. The title of the lesson is Anatomy of a Speech Meet, and I will tell you, how was it disorganized? I will tell you, let me count the ways. You know, where we're going to pick up the ballots. And I found a Ben Davis person saying, where do we pick up the ballots so I can know who I'm judging? We haven't figured that out yet. You haven't figured that out yet? But, you know, then they said, well, we've got to change the judges in the rounds. Oh, great. And I was told, get there at 7:15. I had trouble finding the place, if you could believe that. But, you know, I've never been to Ben Davis before. I got there at 7:30, and they said, that's okay. Your first round's at 11:15. Thank you. So here I am for 4 hours. And people change things all the time. The rules allow the contestants to compete in multiple events. So not everybody shows up at the same time. And when I was in it, you usually did one, maybe two events, because that's all you should be preparing. There are people doing 4 events. I was like, how do you keep that straight? And sometimes it's like trying to hit a moving target. But you know what? We're very lucky with the Lord because He does not change. Malachi, the 3rd chapter in verse 1, it says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You see, God doesn't change. Nothing that he does has not been within his plan. You know, in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And you know what? You go to a meet, the students were generally well-behaved, they were polite, and they are dressed up in suits and dresses. And they were dressed modestly. There were no slits up the leg. There were no tank tops worn by the boys to show off their arms. They wanted to be presentable to adult judges who are going to judge them not only on the merits of their speaking and their topics and their preparation, but also on their appearance. Did they want to be professional? Did they want to look like that they were older than they actually were? Of course, they wore teenage hairstyles and they had teenage skin conditions that betrayed their age in many cases. And the funny thing was, other than the hairstyles, they all looked dressed about the same as they did when I competed in the 80s. And I kind of laughed about that. I said, you know what? The name's been changed to protect the guilty or the innocent, however you want to put at it. And it was like a job interview. We judge that preparation. What did they do with the time that they had? And what have we done with our time? You know, Romans the 14th chapter in verse 10, it reads, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us therefore judge one another. Let us not therefore judge one another any more. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Also in the second chapter of Romans, a few pages back, Romans 2 and verse 1, it says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. And are we prepared? Because Jesus will come again one day. do we know that we are prepared for that? The 12th chapter of Luke, in Luke 12 and in verse 30, it says, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." For, you know, and I think about that. Jesus is going to come one day, and we need to be prepared for that. And, you know, if you're not prepared, what do you do? You know, preparation with the speech meets, I can tell who's prepared because they know their topic. They've got it down. They know what to do. They know what rules they need to follow. And I can tell those who have not prepared. I judged a round of what was called original oratory, where you basically, original oratory is you write your own speech. It's supposed to be between 5 and 10 minutes long, and it's about a topic. It's usually persuasive. You know, some people talk about, you know, maybe we should have gay marriage. Okay, that's a topic. Maybe we should not have gay marriage. That's a topic. Maybe we should have, you know, maybe the principles of the work ethic of the 1950s is the best. You know, all kinds of different stories and different things, and they all spout the same statistics. And I'm sitting here going, okay, I'm glad you're giving me statistics. That tells me nothing. You know, okay, maybe a 1995, you know, survey tells me what people who may have been dead 20 years thought, but what does that do to convince me of things? And some of them go over time. You know, I had a few that went over. What do you do? Well, the rules say you don't give them a one, which is first place. And there was one girl that got, I had to sit down and say, she was not properly prepared. Her ability, her talent was surpassing everybody else, but everybody else got their time in because they had prepared themselves. They had disciplined themselves to go within the rules. And so she got a 4 out of 4. See, the other three were almost, were every bit as talented. And it was like judging the finals, where you're saying, this girl goes to final, goes to the national meet, and the other one doesn't. I haven't had to do that for a long time. I did that. I judged humorous interpretation at North Central High School in Indianapolis for my high school, which had a team, and my old coach was still alive at the time, which helped since he was judging and coaching that he'd be alive. And the room is filled with people. They want to see, who are these finalists? And two of them are going to go to the national meet. Isn't this exciting? I had been gone a few years. My cousin was on the team, so I came and visited, and I drew either the long stick or the short stick, and I'm judging this event. And I mean, you're saying, okay, who missed a line? Who had the pregnant pause when they shouldn't have had it? Who said too many times? I mean, that's what it came down to. They were all equally deserving to go. So I ran, and I listened to it, and we timed it, and okay, they all in within time. They did all these things. I turn in my ballot, and they name the top two. Congratulations. My old coach takes me aside and says, Rich, do you know who you gave the third place to and you kept from Nationals? Who did I keep from Nationals? Coach so-and-so's daughter from, well, it was Logan Sport. We didn't like this coach. We thought he was a dirty coach. He'd come up with his own rules, and he always seemed to, in our eyes at least, came up with ways to make his team look better. And he said, did you know that that was so-and-so's daughter? I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't. I don't know what I would have done. I might have given her a better score because I didn't want to look like that I was, shall we say, being discriminatory against the daughter's cheating father, you know, in my eyes. Or I might have graded her worse. I don't know. And she just missed it by a whisker. And that was the cause. Think this girl had been working for 4 years to get to that moment, to go to the final and win it. I had to tell my old coach, she was third best. And he said, okay. I'm not sure if he believed me to this, you know, to the end of his days, but we have to understand some people are just better prepared. And the stuff she used wasn't nearly as challenging as what the top two had. They had harder stuff and they did a better job. And there's another problem in Luke 12, verse 47, it says, that servant who knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. If you're not prepared for Jesus coming back, you're not going to get rewarded. You see, the judges often judge the competitors in the speech meets based on earthly and superficial reasons. But God knows what we are and judges us righteously. I had judges that whenever they would judge my round, I knew I was going to do bad. I did a speech called Mirror Games, talking about the superficiality of people. And she was your classic middle-aged woman in her middle-aged crisis, and she was trying to look 25 when she was probably 60. And she hated that speech of mine. And I knew that if I was going to get to the state meet, I was going to have to do it in spite of her. And sure enough, in that regional meet, there she was. And she gave me a bad score, but I got good scores from the others, and I did well enough to go on, and I made it to the state meet. Didn't do well at the state meet, but I got there, and that was my goal. And you know what I tell people? There's the human factor. Some of them just don't like your speech and they're going to give you a bad score no matter what. But God is righteous. God will give us what we actually deserve. Romans 2 and 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. See, I never was that pretty boy. I never had the perfect face. I was always pudgy, you know. I didn't have pretty hair. I didn't have expensive suits. And I wasn't always the best speaker. And all the events I did, I never did extemporaneous speaking. I said, oh, I don't want to do extemporaneous speaking. You know what preaching is? It's 100% extemporaneous. I should have practiced. But we have to realize, respect of persons does not exist with God. In James, the second chapter, it says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect for persons, two persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. But also, like high school sports, like college sports, and if you're lucky enough to maybe get to the pros in any level, eventually the glory will end. Someone else is going to take your place. The kids were all different, yet they were all just the same. You know, what did Solomon say in Ecclesiastes 1? In verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about to the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come. There they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which should be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. If there is anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, it hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Everything is same. Earthly prizes and glory are temporary. They are temporal, as we say in the King James. You know, 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, it talks about what people run for. 1 Corinthians 9, 24, know ye not that they that which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. See, we need that corruptible crown. In sports, you get letter jackets when you're good, or you are stick with it at least. And in some of the speech teams, some of the high schools give them letter jackets. Ben Davis has a lot of state championships, and the judge's lounge was a hallway where they had all the state championship trophies. There's a lot of them. And I was walking around because it was easy to get lost in this huge high school. I'm still a small town boy from Swayze who thought Oak Hill was so huge, and then your daughter looks at it and goes, it's dinky. I admit it was, but it was home. They had a hallway for the speech team. Lots of trophies. They're powerhouse by their standards. And the awards were given. And everybody goes home and goes to the next meet, and many will forget the results, and maybe some want to forget the results, and they learn from the experience. The tournament, the meet, is now a memory. And there is a time for everything. You know, Ecclesiastes 3, Solomon says there's a time to be happy, a time to dance, a time to mourn. And we can read all that. But the thing is, all these things include serving God. Because ultimately, we're going to be speaking not to Rich Hardcastle, the judge. And, you know, you get six or seven kids and you're like, okay, which one was he? Which one was she? And you're writing your notes and trying to listen. And you get your stopwatch. I didn't have a stopwatch. I asked Sheila, can we find a stopwatch? I wound up, you know, and it's cold the night before too, going to the Walmart and finding a $7.88 watch that had a digital stopwatch. So I have a stopwatch. I said, well, I'll give it to my wife once I get myself a proper stopwatch. It hasn't happened yet. But we all have to speak to God one day. Matthew, the 12th chapter and verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and as an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. By saying to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You see, our words are going to judge us. And we're going to have to tell God, why did we do such a thing? And you know, we have to realize we need to have good speech and good language, preserving the good news. Colossians 4, it says in verse 1, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. We want to preserve that good news. We want our speech to be that of a Christian, and no one knows anything else. And we need to prepare for the day that we make account. Romans, the 14th chapter and verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We need to prepare for that day we make account. You know what? If I go to judgment day and I say, well, here are my speech team ribbons, that's not going to do anything. I got a few trophies from it, and I've got some ribbons that I found one day, and they were dusty. I hadn't looked at them for 20, 30 years. And they'll eventually burn up or crumble or go to the landfill, who knows. And my trophies are kind of in a little box in my old bedroom, and they're old trophies. They mean nothing to anyone but me. And you know what? It was a great learning experience. It taught me to speak. It taught me to have poise. It taught me how to prepare for things in the world. And that goes down to work. It helped me greatly in college. And helped me greatly in life. But the days of being young are over. I don't wear the pin that I worked so hard for. I know where it's at, which is more than some people can say. The day will come that those with letter jackets will be looked at. What are you doing wearing a letter jacket? You're 30. And you know people like that. They haven't quite let go of high school. I remember my graduation, you know, if you've gone to graduation, you know, they parade you in. And I remember going down the steps of the gymnasium, and I saw this girl. She was the cheerleader and the student council member, and she was queen of everything, and she was pretty, and she was young, and she was crying. Because it was all about to go away. She was going to go to college. She was going to complete her degree. She was going to have her children and her grandchildren. And in her eyes, nothing else was going to be better. But life is fleeting. We are all forgotten. Some of you may know that I have, by marriage, a relation to a gospel preacher and songwriter. Aaron Wesley Dykus, or A.W. If you sing "Our God, He is Alive," that's one of my family anthems. He graduated from Swayze. And they made a book of the old classes, and it shows all the classes, and it shows his class on the wrong page. There's a guy that's listed as A.W. Dykus who's not A.W. Dykus, and he's the real A.W. Dykus is listed as somebody else. My grandmother said that's not him. She knew her uncle. And you know what? When everybody who knew of him or knew someone that knew him is gone, he's not going to be A.W. Dykus anymore in that old yearbook. And eventually people are going, he's just a name in a songbook now. There are very few people who knew him personally. I knew all three of his sons. They're cousins. You'd see them once in a while. One of his sons baptized me, for what it's worth. He was a cousin, a special family. But we're all going to be forgotten. You name me the biggest preacher in the Lord's church, outside of those who are in the church, don't care who he was, don't know who he was, and everybody else is going to forget him anyway. We need to be prepared for the day we make account. God does not respect us. You might be descended from a great family. Maybe you got a lot of money. But the day you die, the process of forgetting you will take place. You will be forgotten. Who had the first car in Lebanon? Might have been special then. No one cares now. Who are all the mayors in Lebanon? Who are all the mayors in Indianapolis? Who's the first governor of Indiana? I understand that no one's really sure what picture they have is accurate because they don't know what he looked like. Or was it the second governor? The fact of the matter is, I remember going to a president's grave and there was nobody there. William Henry Harrison, who at one time was one of the major, predominant people. And we walked up, and the only thing we found as far as literature were some old Ohio flyers and saying, if you want more, you go to this website. You could sign a yellow pad saying you were there. We took a few pictures, and that was that. But are we prepared for the end? Have we heard that word, Romans 10? Do we believe, Mark 16:16, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. To repent of what we have done, Acts 2:38. To confess that Jesus Christ, Son of God, is the Ethiopian eunuch, in Acts 8:36-37. To be baptized, as we just quoted, be faithful unto death, in Revelation 2:10. We might be forgotten. There is no respect of persons with God. Maybe the speech team judges do, and I am due in February to judge the sectional at Westfield. So I'll be crushing those who want to go to regionals, I suppose. But you know what? it's kind of fun because we know that we have a righteous judge. That's our lesson. There's been invitation song selected. If the invitation applies to you in any fashion, please make your wants known and come forward while we stand to sing.